Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Utah Places and Traces, where you can learn about places to go, things to see, and people to love in Utah's varied and diverse landscape. I'm Casey. And I'm here with Jake and Isaac.
Hello.
Sitting at
wow.
our...
Wow, we're so in sync, Jake. Word.
Okay, you guys need a room or something?
Oh, geez.
Stop it, Casey.
No, this is going to be a cool one, folks.
So this is one that mostly I've done research on and learned about because it is from a place close to my home and my heart. It's about... the Mighton Curse, and I'm probably just going to say Mighton because that's how my accent says it.
That's how people in Utah talk.
It'll
we get rid of our
for
T's.
Me to say that, so, but it's Mighton, M-Y-T-O-N.
Jake, you ever been out to the east, to the what they call the basin?
So this is Uinta Basin?
That's right.
So, I mean, I went there for your guys' wedding.
That's right.
Cool place. Actually, a really delightful trip that was. Camila and I enjoyed Harry Potter. By Jim Dale, his reading. Well,
Jim
by
Dale.
J.K. Rowling, but the Jim Dale reading, right?
Heavy.
Yeah, great trip. No, I like it. I'm always a fan of that kind of vast beauty. But I've never spent a lot of time there beyond that. I know there's sure. dinosaurs. I know there's old hotels.
Lots of dinosaurs, lots old of old hotels.
That, and there's the McClellan family.
That's right.
That's what I got. That's my extent.
There you go.
That's right.
That's where I'm from. That's,
so you,
that's my place.
So you drove through Mighton. You drove through the cursed city. Or town, I should call
it. I thought it was indigestion.
It's a blip.
Yeah.
It's a blip on a highway 40.
Now I know why I felt that way.
So the basin, yes. Eastern Utah, it is. It begins at Strawberry Reservoir and continues on into Colorado as you drive east on Highway 40. And that's where I grew up. That's where I'm from. And so my grandma's actually from Mighton. She grew up on the Mighton Bench, which is just north of the city that we're going to talk about.
Really quick.
Yeah.
What's a bench?
A bench.
This is actually for me. This is
great question.
For the viewers. This
so
is for me.
A bench is like viewers, a mesa. Listeners? It's kind of like a mesa. It's okay. Just a raised piece of land. It's kind of flat on top, overlooking a valley usually.
Okay. And the difference between a mesa and a plateau?
I mean, mesa and a plateau.
Am I totally wrong?
Plateaus are usually bigger. I think mesas are more just little blips on the landscape.
Okay.
Have you seen in Maynard Dixon paintings? Those lots of those are mesas.
Oh, sure,
they're
sure,
big
sure.
flat things, but plateaus are usually bigger. Like the Colorado Plateau is all of like half of Colorado and half of Utah. Just a really big raised
sure.
area.
Sure.
So, but a bench is smaller and usually not as tall as a mesa. I would say, you know, I'm a geography major. I was a geography major, but I'm not quite sure of the difference. I'm just going off of my feelings.
No, at that's
this
cool.
Moment.
That's cool. I was just curious.
Yeah, good question though. So yeah, my grandma grew up on the Mighton Bench. Her dad had a service station for cars in Mighton. They call it, she calls it the phony looking Fort Mighton thing now. It's like a, it used to be.
What the?
And this would have been back when Mighton was
This is in the 30s.
Right.
It's kind of on
or
its
right
down.
Right when it was on its
downfall. On the swing down.
Gotcha.
And she actually, I could go on, my grandma has some crazy stories about her dad working, the Depression was a tough time for everybody, and so she's got some pretty crazy stories about what her family did. But they lived in Mighton, and she grew up there. She was born in a chicken coop, as the story
Amazing.
Goes.
Yeah, as it goes, right?
So anyway, Mighton. There, Mighton is a city, like I said, on Highway 40, in between Roosevelt and Duchesne. If you know where those are, you can look them up on a map, eastern Utah. And population of 554 currently.
That's pretty tiny.
It's pretty small. And it was, the basin was actually has a unique settlement history versus the rest of Utah. I mean, Brigham Young, starting in the 1850s, sent out groups of people to go settle different parts of the West. And the basin, he just never touched because it was good for according to a scouting history of the area in 1861, I want to say, they said it's good for nothing but to hold the world together. And they just wanted to send native folks out there and to move all the people that were living on the Wasatch Front already to live in the basin so that Mormon settlers could have the good land that was already being occupied by you peoples. So that's a little bit of a sullied history. So white people didn't
sullied,
really...
by the way.
Sullied, thank you.
Yeah.
So white people didn't really go out there until 1905, which is when Mitin hit its heyday. So 1905 was when the reservation was opened for homesteading by white settlers. So before that, from the 1860s up until 1905, the reservation was solely for native peoples. And they moved different groups. I mean, Indian agents lived in Mitin, kind of in the same area, and they were in charge of teaching people how to hunt and fish, which is and farm, which they thought they needed to do. Really stupid, really misguided. And they brought different bands from different parts of the West to the Uinta Basin to live there. But in 1905, so many people had died off, and there was so much open land there that the legislature, the U.S. legislature, decided to open it up for homesteading for white settlers. So 1905 was when Mitin kind of hit its heyday, but it was not known as Mitin before this. It was called Bridge.
That's right.
Or Bridge City.
Bridge City.
Right here in Bridge City.
And this is because back in the late 1800s, there was a bridge that was built across the Duchesne River, which was used to transport supplies from the railroad and Price up to Duchesne and Vernal.
And into Heber and Salt Lake eventually.
Yeah, and so it was a pretty trafficked area because of that bridge, which gave it a lot of settlers going there.
Yeah, it was kind of the only... And that's where like the Indian agents would live when they were administrating to the native peoples living on the reservation. So it was kind of a big deal, Bridge City.
That's right.
And in 1903... this guy who was an Indian agent. Oh, also Buffalo Soldiers. We should talk about the Buffalo Soldiers sometime because they lived in Fort Duchesne, which is by Mitin. Oh, I just said it correctly.
What?
Caught yourself.
Buffalo soldiers lived in the area. We could talk a lot about the basin. I love talking about the basin. Lots of people don't care, but it's my place. So anyways, Buffalo soldiers were living there, native peoples were living on the land, and Indian agents were administering. And in 1903, Mitin was actually the largest settlement in the basin, still Bridge City at this time. But in 1905, this guy who was an Indian agent and government official and kind of a ne'er-do-well from what I hear, H.P. Mitin decided...
Whenever your name has two initials, you're... history's not going to smile. You know what I mean?
H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, yeah. Or, I mean, if it smiles, it's tongue-in-cheek. There's just ne'er-do-well, I think, is the... Oh, dude, there we go, right?
There you go.
Controversial. Yeah, H.P., I think it stood for, like, Howell something, which
Howell
I
understand...
Howell Powell. Which I get why he used initials, because bad name. But they were going to name the city something else, but he became the postmaster and he just wrote his name on the application to the U.S. Postal Service and they named it Mitin after him.
Yeah. He wasn't also, there very long.
No, also long enough, interesting though. History yep. about this guy, which we should probably do more research on and I need to do more research on. In 1915, he was a cop in Salt Lake and he killed a union worker. This is like the very beginning of unions and like the labor movement. And he killed a union worker and it was all this uproar, but everyone was happy because he'd killed these communists, which is so sad. So labor history in Utah would be interesting as well. But Mitin was Mitin was different from other parts of Utah because there was a pretty big non-Mormon population living there. So actually Mormons and Presbyterians worshiped at different times, but then after church, they'd all get together and have a little potluck.
Cool.
Which is really fun. I think that's a cool.
If I can do a quick interjection here.
Please.
So for those listening, you're going to hear us use the term Mormons a lot, right? And this refers to A couple things, right? So you think of Mormons, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And in recent years, there has been a push to have it kind of members referred to as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But we're going to stick using historical kind of frameworks here with Mormons because Mormon studies, stuff like that. I mean, that's the academic way of going about it.
It's a cultural term. Exactly. More than referring to the church now.
Yeah. So yeah. By no means are we trying to offend or trying to push against, you know, what the members of the church have been or asked to be called. Just wanted to throw that out there in case anybody listening thinks that we're not on the up and up.
Yes, that's great. Thank you. I was going to mention that. Thanks, Jake. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Utah history is synonymous with Mormons.
In many ways. Yeah.
Many, many ways.
Totally. So yeah, we're going to say Mormons. That's the cultural way to discuss people who were and are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or have been associated with them. So that's how we're going to do it. But there were some issues brewing in Mighton, even though the Presbyterians and Mormons were friends and the saloons were hopping. The three-legged dog saloon is my favorite name that I've heard for a while of a saloon.
We should call this the Three-Legged Dog Podcast.
Dude, not bad.
Actually, not a bad idea. Better than Places and Traces, probably. So anyway, because Mighton was in a powerful position on the river, had a lot of influence, and they wanted to continue that influence, keep growing. But because it was less Mormon than other parts of Utah, there was some pushback from powerful Mormon leaders, including a man named William H. Smart, who we will continue talking about in a minute. But in 1909, high floodwaters from, there was a lot of, all of the water in Utah comes from the mountains, and the Uinta Mountains are what feeds the Duchesne River. And there was a ton of snow in the winter of 1909, and it totally flooded parts of Mighton and also created a new channel for the river. And so the bridge that had been so powerful and such an important part of Mighton's economy was totally just left high and dry. So they're like, crap, we need to build another bridge. So they lobbied Senator Reed Smoot, our hero, to build a new bridge so that Mighton could retain its power and influence.
And this flood was just one of many odd occurrences that happened in Mighton, you know, which is what the Mighton curse refers to. I mean, it could refer to all these calamities that have happened. It's just a really interesting place with a lot of weird things that have happened to it.
Oh yeah, I should have said that at the beginning. Maybe we can put this at the beginning.
Well, what's funny is this note here in the notes. It says, I just love this, in all caps, it says, things were looking up for Mighton, comma, but then the curse.
The curse.
That's, I love that.
But then the curse. And it's really interesting. I mean, some people don't believe in black magic or voodoo stuff, but there's a lot of patterns that have happened in this place.
Do you believe in Mormon curses? Do you believe Mormon stake presidents can curse a town?
I had never thought it, to be honest. I've never been asked that before.
But you know, it's
think about it.
Yeah,
now
I need to think about it.
I mean, if you know anything about early Mormon history, it's that a lot of the men in power said a lot of bold things.
Current Mormon history as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
cultural shifts.
And so a Mormon stake president going somewhere and cursing something probably wasn't too uncommon. I don't know for sure, but it's
could be.
Brigham Young was known to say a lot of bold things. So it's interesting.
Without a doubt, we'll hit on more of that as our episodes continue.
Yes, that's right. We will definitely delve into that history. Maybe we should start with, have you ever thought that a Mormon stake president could curse a town?
Is that our tagline now?
We could do that at the end.
I don't know.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Getting back to Mighton's curse.
Anyway, Mighton curse. Things were looking up for Mighton, comma, but then the curse. So this dichotomy between Mormons and non-Mormons in the town caused a little bit of friction and probably and caused, quote unquote, this curse that we're going to talk about. So there's a couple different legends and stories about this curse and a couple different origins. So I don't know which one you believe. Maybe we can vote at the end and see which one we believe is the most believable. But there's a few things that are consistent throughout the three versions of the curse. One, that William H. Smart, the stake president of the Uinta Stake, cursed Mighton to doom. And there was always jackrabbits and tumbleweeds and weeds growing out of the cracks of the city mentioned in this curse. So there's different versions of the quote. One, you will see the day when nothing but jackrabbits and tumbleweeds will be seen on the main streets of Mighton. This is the city website. Version two, you'll see the day when jackrabbits and tumbleweeds will be the only things rolling down Mighton's main streets. I kind of like that one. I like the rolling. And then the history of Duchesne County, which I think is the most reliable source, quotes President Smart as saying, if you do not allow us to buy into your town, that's the curse. Mm-hmm. You will see the day when only jackrabbits and tumbleweeds will inhabit your main street.
That sounds about right.
Do you think that's the correct. Most legit?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, the precursor to this was the Mormon Church, including William H. Smart, they were in negotiations with the town to buy shares in the Bank of Mighton.
In the Bank of Mighton. Yeah. And the town council.
And the town council.
Was not happy with that.
They didn't want it. They didn't want it happening. They just didn't want anything to do with Mormons. And so they kept rejecting them over and over. And according to the myth, William H. Smart, you know, rumbles out of a meeting and says, if you don't allow us to buy into your town, you will see the day when only jackrabbits and tumbleweeds will inhabit your main streets.
Boom.
Man. And that's what people claim as the curse to be.
But that is not the only thing. That is not the only curse that I've heard. There are other reasons that William H. Smart supposedly cursed Mighton. The other two reasons is because President Smart had to stick up his butt. But he was mad. There's one. The other story is that he was mad at church members for supporting the saloons and other economically important businesses in the town. And for those who don't know, Mormons are notorious teetotalers and do not drink alcohol or try to avoid other forms of vice that are found in saloons. And so William H. Smart was mad at the members for supporting the saloons. So he cursed the other stories that he cursed the town because of that. And then one more story. During a meeting proposing a new chapel to be built in Mighton, a mob was shouting at him that they would tar and feather him and run him out of town on a rail, which is really scary. So he cursed the town for people who were making fun of him. So yeah. I don't know. Which version do you believe? Which story do you believe?
I don't know.
The bank story.
I think the bank story sounds legit.
Pretty accurate. And it's in Duchesne's history books, which is cool.
Yes, that we should probably list our sources somewhere, but the history of Duchesne County, which was created in 1996 by the Utah Historical Society. They did every county has its own history, which is great.
Yeah.
The Duchesne County one is probably the best one I've read. Sorry you went to county, not very good. So anyways, this curse really did apparently affect Mighton, and Mighton never became as powerful and strong as it had been in the past. So
yeah, what's really interesting is after this occurrence of the so-called curse, just a lot of kind of some calamities happened, some crazy things.
And starting with Mighton didn't get the county seat when they were creating Duchesne County.
Man.
I know. Everyone in Mighton voted for it, but bigger towns like Roosevelt and Duchesne voted for their own towns, and Duchesne, the city, actually won the county seat.
That's right. Mighton's population was significantly higher than all the other towns around the area, but they didn't get it.
Nope, they lost the county seat. It was a close call. So that was the first thing, 1914. They lost the county seat. In 1915, a huge fire tore down Main Street. It started in a saloon, so maybe William H. Smart was onto something.
Hmm.
And then multiple fires. Oh, before that, 1916, the Masons showed up and started meeting in the bank. And Mormons were freaked out, and they took all their shares out of the bank. And so the bank collapsed in 1916, making Mighton lose its influence and power. So that was another calamity. And then multiple fires actually after, in 1925 and 1930, just destroyed Mighton and kept it from becoming a power ever again. So there's the Mighton curse. I don't know if I believe it, but
yeah, I mean, it's an interesting timeline of events. This guy gets angry.
Coincidence?
Curses the town.
I think not.
Definite misfortune.
Definite misfortune, right?
Yeah.
The timing is just impeccable.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the might and curse. And today it's still really small and it's kind of sad to drive through. But if you're on your way to Vernal or Roosevelt or going to Colorado from Salt Lake on Highway 40, you can go through it and take a picture at the phony looking Fort Mighton thing. And there's also a really good gas station that sells buffalo jerky. So,
well, there you go. For no other reason, you know. You'll probably have heard that I did not contribute a ton vocally here. And this is just because our other two folks, Casey and Isaac, are the experts. And that's what we try and do here. We try and, you know, let the experts talk and the rest of us just learn and listen. And I'm pretty grateful for that. So thank you for the excellent historical outline of Mighton.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for contributing.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll see you on the next episode.